I'm happy to go first, actually. I'm happy to go first because what I'm going to tell you about today is a project that I'm actually super excited about. This is a project where we have some very large ambitions. We're hoping to fundamentally transform some things about the internet. What I'm going to tell you about is it's a piece of a story that I think has the potential to change how we do network measurements, how we do security notifications, and how we drive out some of the network errors and quality problems that we have in the internet today. So I call it my NetInfo proposal. NetInfo is actually a really interesting domain name. It's a domain name that's listed as ICANN reserved. It's ICANN reserved because there was a policy for many years that you couldn't use a top-level domain name as a secondary domain. That policy has been lifted, but NetInfo is not used for anything right now. I want to use it as a coordination point for constructing a secure channel between users and their network access provider. So what do I mean by that? In the internet today, we know how to build secure channels between users and arbitrary other locations on the internet, their bank, Gmail, things like that. We use HTTPS, we use certificates. That ecosystem is even getting better. We're rolling out things like certificate transparency, DANE. We know how to secure that, and it's getting better. What's hard to do right now is it's hard to open your laptop, your device, your computing device on an arbitrary network and establish a secure connection with your network access provider. There's no easy way to do that. So NetInfo is, the objective is to be able to easily construct a secure, trusted, easy to use channel between users, human users, apps, software, libraries, frameworks, and the network access provider, over which we can communicate both structured and unstructured information. So what type of data do I want to have flow over this channel? Today I'm going to tell you about three things. I want to have network service information flow over it. I want to pass back and forth security notifications, and I want to construct a system where we can do network quality and error reporting, again, to the network access provider. So let me start with the network service information. This is actually where the idea for network info, NetInfo, came from years and years ago. Bill and I have been talking about this for quite some time. I think it's a little bit scandalous how hard it is for users or their apps, libraries, and frameworks to gain access to basic information about their network connection. So in particular, I'm interested in upload and download speeds, data caps. I think there might be some interest in passing back and forth traffic alerts as well. But why does this change network measurement? Right now, if you look at, for instance, the FCC's Measuring Broadband America program, they only release data, even though they're collecting it for 12 months, only 1 month out of that 12-month period is considered validated data. So it's only for 1 month of the year paired up with information, the metadata about the user's connection. Why is that? It's because it's hard for the FCC, Sam Knows, and the network carriers to coordinate and pass back and forth information about upload and download speeds. So that diminishes the value of those data sets. And we're only solving that measurement problem for one measurement platform, Measuring Broadband America. So anyone else, academics or others that would like to construct measurements that rely on what the users contracted for upload and download speeds, we can't do it. I think that's really a shame. I think it should be easy to access basic service parameters like that. Okay, so let me turn now to security notifications. I think that the bigger payoffs for NetInfo, in fact, are on these later two. The first one's important, but I think these are vital. So the data that I'm showing you here is from a study that was done by MOG, the Messaging and Anti-Abuse Working Group, and it covered 2012 and 2013. A number of their members got together and pooled their data. This covered 37 million Americans at the time, subscribers, households in the United States, and the network providers notice already at least some of the time when their users are infected. This represents about 1% of the users, so at any one point in time, the best data that I've seen suggests that 1% of users in the United States have malicious software running on their networks. I think this is at least two orders of magnitude too high. I think we need to drive this number down by two orders of magnitude, so that, you know, no more than about 3,000 or 4,000 people in the United States at any one point in time have malicious software running on their networks. The providers here do try to do notification, though. In the report, 99% of the people that they deemed as infected were notified. So how were they notified? They were notified using email, they were notified using voice, they were notified using text, postal mail, captive portals, injection into web pages. All of those techniques are actively exploited by the bad guys using social engineering attacks. So the vast majority of people, when they get notifications, the vast majority of people that get notifications should be ignoring those notifications because they're fake notifications. I don't think I did anything, did I? Maybe I dropped that. We're infected. That's okay, I can continue without it. Oh, no, we're back. So I want to use the Net Info Channel as a secure, trusted way of notifying users. So when your network access provider notices that you have an infection, and we can talk about how they do that, how they identify users that are infected at the end, I want them to be, in effect, able to set off sort of a cyber fire alarm in your house that you actually react to. So if you notice what I'm doing here, I'm splitting how we do notification from how we do remediation, because I don't necessarily think it should be the responsibility of the network access provider to clean it up, but I do think that they have a responsibility and interest in notifying users in ways that the user can trust is actually from them and they should react to. So now let me turn to the third thing that I want to use NetInfo for, and that's network quality and error reporting. So I really take inspiration here from what's done in a very nearby community, and that's the operating system community. Microsoft error reporting is one that's been documented in the academic literature that's really interesting. They have constructed an ecosystem where there's a really sophisticated collection and sharing of information that drives a really virtuous cycle of improvement. You've almost assuredly seen this on your own laptops. When an application fails, you get a box that says, are you willing to submit this error report to Microsoft, right? So what's interesting about that is that Microsoft uses that not only to improve their own software, their operating system, or the software that they provide, but they also then share that information with the hardware vendors and with third-party software vendors. So they're in some sense routing those error reports to the right locations to drive improvements out. And if you look at the literature on that, they've been highly effective at doing it. So I think that what we should be doing in the networking space is something very analogous. When there is a network error with an application or software, I think that you can also submit it off to the vendor themselves directly, but I think a report should go to the access provider. That access provider then can route those error reports to locations where the problems can be addressed. They're not going to look at every single bug, but you know, it's an 80-20 rule. They can address some of the ones that are affecting large numbers of users. It's hardware devices, other networks, apps and software vendors. Some of the problems will be users. Some of the problems will be theirs. Some of the problems will be others as well. Again, I want those at the bottom. I'm showing where do I want those quality and error reporting to come from. I think some of it can come from measurement tools. The main place I would like to build it into actually is libraries that are used by large numbers of applications. There's some common ones that you can find that are used by large numbers. I think it would be excellent if it was built into those and automatically submitted to the access provider. The access provider can choose to analyze those and act on them, or they can choose to ignore them. It's up to them. So let me very briefly talk about the architecture. We have a technical design done right now. We're not using anything special here. The vast majority of our technical architecture makes use of existing standards or emerging standards. The thing that I think is the most interesting, though, is how do we create a good user experience both for the human users or for the folks that are writing the libraries and the frameworks that would be communicating with NetInfo. So on the human user side, where do I want to have this built in? I want to have it built in to the operating systems. So for instance, on your Mac, I would like there to be either in the network icon that's there or in a separate one, a NetInfo icon, so that if that lights up and goes off and you have a security notification, you actually trust it because it's built in. The folks that write that know that when they write that app, that they really are always talking to their network access provider if they succeed in communicating. Another way that the second one there is the Amazon Echo, which I have sitting next to Bill over there at my seat. I think this is actually really interesting. I have a student at MIT who has built for me a voice interface to the NetInfo channel. And this is, I think, really compelling. So users hate calling up their network access provider in reporting quality or error problems, but I think that they actually really like voice interaction. And if what you could do is you can simply say with the Echo, which is always listening, like Siri, or similar to Siri, you can say, Alexa, tell NetInfo that I think something's wrong with my network. And that's as much cost as there is. And then all of a sudden, you're interacting with your network access provider. They take it as an error report, or perhaps they say something back. If I can get that plugged in and hooked up to the wireless network, I'll show you later. I think it's really highly, highly compelling. So that's the end. If you want more details about the technical architecture, I'm happy to have a hallway conversation with you or something else. Otherwise, if you're interested in this and where we're headed with it, please send me an email. I would love to talk more about this.
Yes, Steve, I have a question. In other presentations, in other venues, have you gotten any responses back from any ISPs about this?
On a number of fronts, yes. I just was at a quality of experience workshop last week, so these slides are actually the slides I used there. And on a number of fronts, I had really positive responses. One, network access providers are willing to share in a standardized way, at least the one that I was talking to there, in a standardized way, the network service parameters. They agreed that it should be far easier to gain access to those, so that was the first. On the third, I also had positive responses about creating compelling user interaction with the user, in particular folks like the voice mode of interacting. That's only one. I want to build this into your Android devices, your iPhone, others that are not voice enabled, but creating a compelling user experience was something that definitely had a positive response as well. Kevin?
Steve, the security aspect's really interesting about that notification side. I'm curious, though, as to, in order for this to be successful, especially in the security space, the base has to be running it. And what's your thought on like the opt-in, opt-out of participating in something like this?
I'm sorry, by base, do you mean the network access provider, or do you mean
the user base is...
Absolutely.
Because this system seems more... It only works if you, as a consumer, have subscribed to the net.info infrastructure, I have no statistics around this, but most security botnet-infected people are not the people that opt into next-gen tools.
So there is a chicken and an egg problem here, but if you go talk to economists, chicken and egg problems are solved by the market all of the time. I think that we know how to move this forward in a coordinated way so that both the network access providers as well as all of these devices at the edge can simultaneously take a step forward. That is absolutely key, no doubt. I think we've got some good stories for how that can occur. Yes?
Notice that my mobile phone gives me things like Amber Alerts without my having to turn on anything. It came in there. It gave me the option to opt out after it gave me one. I said, by the way, do you want to keep seeing these? But I think that this can be made part of the default experience. And that's actually very important, because if you think through the security architecture here, any mechanism for notifying users is going to be attacked. And we can create a secure channel from the NetInfo server. The thing we cannot do is prevent a spoofer who has taken over your computer from putting all kinds of weird stuff up on your screen that tries to mimic these things. The only response to that, and it's unfortunately not one my security friends like, it's one that humans like, is multiple devices can be the recipient of these messages. And part of what we have to do is help the human understand, the user understand, that if one of his devices is telling him all sorts of things and the others aren't, that probably means that the one machine is the problem. And for that, all of them, several of your machines need to be enabled. But that's really how you get a secure channel here. It's by creating a path which, to completely corrupt it, an attacker has to break into several of your machines. And I think it ought to be on by default.
Yes. So for any network attacker, this is explicitly designed to be robust to a man in the middle. So if my device, my wireless edge, is corrupted at home, if I can communicate with NetInfo, I know definitively that I'm communicating with my network access provider. If they corrupt my device until we have hardened, secured devices, you could corrupt one device. So my hypothesis is that while it may be easy to corrupt one device in the home, I think it's actually very difficult to corrupt a large number of them.
Okay.